Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Do you have spiritual discernment? Those who are led by the Spirit, those who are committed to the Word of God, they're going to have discernment. That is, they are going to be led by the Spirit of God and be able to discern what people are experiencing, what they are going through. When someone is sad and grieving, and when someone lacks encouragement, we who walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, will understand what a person is going through to a great degree. The spiritual leader of Israel during the book that we're studying was a man by the name of Eli. And Eli did not have spiritual discernment. Now, he was a man of God. He did not rule his family well. We'll come to see that in the weeks to come. But God used him. And one of the things that we see from that is that God uses people who are not perfect. Only Messiah is perfect. Only he knew no sin of those who were born into this world. Messiah came into this world through the incarnation, and therefore, although he was fully man, he is also fully God, and he never violated God's word. He is eternally perfect with God his Father and the Holy Spirit. But when we look at humanity, we all fall short, and we fall very short of God's standards. But that doesn't mean that God will not use us. When we are humble, when we are quick to repent, when we look at ourselves from God's perspective, God will forgive, he will be merciful, and God will even use you and me for his purposes. And God was using Eli, and we'll see that in a very clear way in our teaching today. So with that said, take out your Bible and look with me to 1 Samuel and chapter 1. 1 Samuel and chapter 1. Now, hopefully you'll remember that last week, Hannah, one of the wives of a man by the name of Elkanah, she went to Shiloh with her family. And there was another woman who was married to her husband. This is not God's will. This is not what we see from the law of God. But nevertheless, things happen that are outside of God's will. And we know that God moved in this family, despite those things that were not according to his will. And we find that Hannah went into the tabernacle, meaning the tabernacle area, in order that she might worship God. Now, remember something. She was sad. She was grieving because she was committed to the Word of God. Now, someone will say, where do you find that in the Scripture? Allow me to share with you why I said this thing that I said. When we look at the book of Genesis, we find that the first commandment given to humanity is this one: be fruitful and multiply. And because Hannah was barren, she could not be fruitful, she could not multiply, and therefore she was grieved over that. She wanted to have a baby. And what did she do? She did not continue in that anger, that grief, that unhappiness, that sorrow, that difficulty. But what did she do? She worshiped God. And I think that is such an important principle, and what a wonderful example for us. Is everything right in your life just how you want it to be? Probably not. And if it is, it's probably not how God wanted it to be. And therefore, we all need to turn to God and ask God to make His order the order of our life. That is such a profound thing to do, and it will have great benefits. Again, pray to God and say, God, I want your order to be the order of my life. I want to submit to your instructions. I want to do what you have commanded your people to do. Well, you recall that Eli, when he saw Hannah praying and praying seriously and committedly before the Lord, he didn't understand what was going on. And this is very informative. He thought that she was drunk, and she was not. She was worshiping God. We'll see this. But I want us to begin our study at this time with chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. And let's begin with verse 15, where it says, "And she answered," and that she is Hannah, "and Hannah answered, and she said, No, my Lord, a woman of Keshat Ruach." What does that mean? Well, the primary word here is the word Keshah. Keshah means hard or difficult. The next word is Ruach, so Keshat Ruach. She is saying, I'm in a difficult or a hard spiritual position. And what does she do? She takes her grief, her sorrow, and even, as we'll see in a moment, her anger, and she goes before the Lord to worship Him and to pray to Him. Now, that shows obedience. We're always called to worship God. And secondly, it shows her faithfulness, that despite what she's going through, she knows that God is able to set things in order. But here's a question that you and I have to answer, and it's this one. Do we really want God's order in our life? Do we really want God to order everything about our life according to His purposes, His plans, His ways? Or are we holding on to what we want? Here's some wisdom for you. Let go of your will. Let go of your desires. And ask God that He would place within your heart His desires. Remember that verse? He will give you the desires of your heart, meaning it's His desires that He wants to put in your heart. But you have to be committed to His will. So she is speaking, and she says, you know, I'm not drunk. She says, but rather I'm a woman of a hard or a difficult spirit. She says, wine and strong drink I have not drank. But, and the implication is, but rather in contrast, Eli, to what you think is going on here, here's the reality of the situation. She says, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And let me simply say what a wise thing she did. To pour out her soul, to empty out herself, what she's feeling, pour it out before God. Why? Well, God, He knows all things. He knows what we're experiencing, what we're feeling. And therefore, when we turn to Him, and we turn to Him honestly, in a genuine manner, venting and truly sharing with Him all of our feelings, God will go to work. And God is a God of change. So she says what she has done is to pour out her soul before the Lord. Look at verse 16. Do not set your maidservant before the daughter of Bali Yael. Now that is a Hebrew expression. Bali Yael means a wicked or vile individual. And what she's saying in an idiom is this. She's saying, don't place me, your maidservant, as a wicked, as a vile woman. That is not who she is. As I said, she is very sensitive to the things of God, and she wants to obey God. She wants to do His purposes, but she is grieving because of the fact that she is barren and she wants that child. And we're going to see more of what she says concerning this child as we press on. She says, look at verse 16. Rather, from the abundant of Sichi. Now, Sichi is my conversation. That's literally what it is. She's saying, in the abundance of my prayer, in other words, that's what it's referring to, and my anger, I have spoken unto now, unto this time, this place. Now, what she's revealing is this. She is coming clean before the Lord. Yes, she's unhappy about her situation. It is a difficult situation, and she's saying that she's angry about it. You know what? It is okay to be angry with your spiritual condition. But don't be angry at God. She wasn't angry at God. Rather, she was worshiping God, and she was turning to God in that anger, asking God to make a change. And God is able to make a change. He desires to make the change that he wants for your life. And when you go before him humbly, and when you go before him honestly, and when you go before him confessing everything, what you're feeling, you will be amazed with how quick God moves. Now, it may not be that day or that week or maybe that month, but God will straighten things out. If you want his order, he will work and move to bring his order, his will, his purposes, his program into your life so that you can obey him. And this is her desires. Look at verse 17. And Eli answered, and he said, "Go of peace." Now, this is a very important word, this word shalom, or peace, as most Bibles would translate it. But peace, biblically speaking, is the fulfillment of God's will. And what this text is saying, and Eli is speaking, and here again, he's not a perfect man, but none are we. Rather, though, he knows that due to this woman's prayer, her sincerity, her honesty, that God is going to respond to her. And therefore, he says, go of peace, meaning the fulfillment of God's will is going to be realized by you. What you have asked for, you are going to receive. It is going to be a positive response from God. That's what he means when he says, go in peace. For the God of Israel will give you your requests, which you have asked from him. So Eli, he's a priest, but he's also, in this case, prophesying that God is going to act favorably in regard to Hannah's requests, and that she's going to have a child. Look now to the next verse, verse 18. She is speaking, and she says, she said, "Your maidservant will find grace in your eyes." And we might translate, "May your maidservant find grace in your eyes." And the woman went her way. She ate. Now, why is that important? Why is that there? Because eating, the Bible says, and let me give you the citation, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10. The Bible says, when you have eaten your food and are satisfied, you are to give thanks. You are called to worship God. So when she goes to eat, the scripture is telling us, based upon what Eli had said to her, she is going to receive that, believe that, and she is already going to give thanks to God in a worshipful context for this response that he shared with her. So she goes her way, she eats, and notice it says, and her face was not to her anymore, meaning there was a change, whereby her face, and this can mean her countenance, and it's speaking about her spiritual condition. What was it? Well, we read it a few minutes ago. Kshat ruach. She was in a difficult spiritual position. She didn't feel good about her life. She was miserable. But now there was a change. And what she was experiencing, that countenance was now changed, and we might say forever change. Verse 19. And they rose up early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord, and they returned, and they came to their house in Ramah. Now, what this is speaking about is this family. We know that there are two wives, one husband, and the other woman has children, but Hannah does not. We have emphasized that. This is why she's feeling that difficulty, that harshness of her life, this sadness that she's poured out before the Lord. And notice what happens. They get home, and there's a principle in the Bible, and that is this. When God says something's going to happen, we shouldn't expect it to happen years away, but in a relatively quick time, unless the prophecy is for the last days or something that's specifically told in a faraway time. But if it doesn't say that, as in this case, we should expect it to be fulfilled rather quickly. And that's what we see. Look again at verse 19, speaking about this entire family. They got up early in the morning. They worshiped before the Lord, and they returned and came to their house in Ramah. And what happens? Keep reading the end of verse 19. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now, what we find is this. That word to remember is a word that's related to covenant. Now, how should we understand a covenant? A covenant consists of promises, also obligations, but primarily promises. If both parties stand in faithfulness to their obligations, then this is what's going to be the outcome. And now we know that God always keeps his covenantal promises. And therefore, we find that he remembered her, that is, the Lord remembered her. And notice verse 20, and it came about at the period of days, meaning this. God is a God of time. Now, he transcends time. His name means that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the God who was and is and will be. But God is punctual. And the scripture tells us, look at verse 20, and it came about at the periods of times or days that Hannah conceived, and she bore a son, and she called his name Shmuel, which has to do with the name of God. Now, name is synonymous with character. And one of the things that is true about Shmuel in the Bible, talking about Samuel, is that we don't see anything written about him in a negative way. He was truly a man of God. And we find here that God remembered this woman, and it came about in the periods of days that she conceived, that is, Hannah conceived, she bore a son, and she called his name Shmuel, because from the Lord I have asked him, meaning I've asked for him. She went before God and asked for a child, and this is God's response. God is faithful. God hears, and God, when we are sensitive to his will, when we want to fulfill his desires, we are going to be amazed with God's response in our life. Our God is not a God that is distant, but our God is, as the Bible says, a very present help in times of trouble. And Hannah is experiencing that firsthand. Look with me to verse 21. The man Elkanah, so we're speaking about the husband, he went up, and all of his house, meaning all of his family, to do something. to sacrifice unto the Lord the sacrifice of the days and his vow. Meaning, he went up again in order to worship God, to sacrifice. And he did so to fulfill the period of time during which he was there, those required sacrifices, and also his vows, his personal commitment to the Lord, what he wanted to give. And what do we see about this? Something very important. And that is, Elkanah is a faithful man. Again, is he perfect? No. Is he doing everything right, what God wants him to? No, he has two wives. But nevertheless, God is using him. And this man is sensitive to God. He's not perfect, neither are you or me. But he is interested in the things of God. So he goes up to sacrifice to the Lord, the sacrifice of those days being what was required and his vow. Verse 22, it says, Hannah did not go up because she said to her husband, until he should be weaned, who? The young boy. Now, this is the word na'ar. Now, in modern Hebrew, the word na'ar refers to an adolescent boy. But obviously, this one has not been weaned, so it's not an adolescent boy. If you do a good study of the scripture, you will find, for example, Moses. When he was put in that little basket by his mother into the Nile River, he was called a na'ar. In modern Hebrew, we wouldn't use that word. Biblical Hebrew, you can. It speaks about a male that has not reached the age of adulthood. In modern Hebrew, an adolescent, but biblically, it can even speak about a small child, very, very young. Look at verse 22. And Hannah did not go up, because she has said to her husband, until the boy shall be weaned, and I bring him and appear my face before, I appear before the Lord, the face of the Lord. And she dwelt there until that time. Now, what we see here is something very interesting, because if you look at it, it says, Vayashab Sham Ad Olam, which means, and she dwelt there until, or stayed there until, Olam. Well, Olam can be the world, meaning all of space, but it can also refer to all of time. And what we see is this. This word Olam is very interesting, because it doesn't really belong in this place, except for one reason. There are no mistakes in the Word of God. And the word Olam oftentimes means eternity, forever. But it's also a word that points to the kingdom. Why is that word there? Very simply, it tells us that this passage, what we're studying, has kingdom implications. That we need to have that same tenacity, that same sensitivity, that same feeling of kashat ruach for our situations in this world, because this world is far removed from the will of God. God wants to bring change. And in the same way that God was able to bring change into the life of this woman and into this family, so too is God able to bring change into your life and into your family and every aspect of your life. Nothing is too difficult for God. So again, we find here that she says, I'm going to stay here until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him and appear before the face of the Lord. But until that time, it says, and she stayed there until forever. Now, do a good study of that word, Olam. It has kingdom implications. And what we need to see is that God, throughout his word, and we have a wonderful God, he is forever wise, and therefore we need to understand how majestic is his word. And we need to honor His word, revere His word, and study His word, and if possible, go deep into the text, because there are words there that your translation probably just gives it a more easily understood translation based upon context rather than the accuracy of this word. We see that God, in so many different ways, wants to communicate to us kingdom truth so that we understand. And what's this child's name? Shmuel. The name of God. That's really what Shmuel means. And what the Bible's telling us is this. Those who are kingdom inhabitants, we are going to have the character of God. Will we be God? Of course not. That would be heresy. We don't become divine, but nevertheless, we become like God in character. That is our hope when we receive that new body, that kingdom body that has been perfectly designed by God for eternity in His kingdom. And therefore, we see in this passage that she is remaining there until, what we might say, until this kingdom reality. And what's the kingdom reality? What is additionally learned from this passage? Our God answers prayer. When will all of our prayers be answered? With yes in the affirmation, when we are in the kingdom of God. So if you're not receiving things now and you seem frustrated, you might have that difficult spirit like Hannah have, realize. Even though right now you might be angry about your situation, understand there is a time of change coming. And what is that time of change? The kingdom. When you enter into the kingdom is a time when God is going to set everything in His order. And you know what? There's not going to be any complaints. There's not going to be any difficulties. There's not going to be any grief or sorrow. All those things belong to this world. And God is going to, and we praise Him and worship Him for this, He is going to bring an end to these things. Why? All of these things are the former things, meaning all of these things belong to this world. They will not be present in the kingdom of God. There is good news for the people of God. There is good news for those who will be in the kingdom of God. Well, I'll close with that. Until next week, may God bless you. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.